Okay, so thank you. Thanks for the invitation to come and speak with you. It's a pleasure to follow these two extraordinary, extraordinary talks. I want to talk a little bit about on this question of processing sovereignty. Sort of inevitable, then I think I would draw a little bit from the book that I wrote a couple of years ago called "The Stack" on software and sovereignty. The basis of which was first presented here on this stage at Hakkabay at a Transmediale a couple of years ago. And so what I wanted to sort of do with this first conversation is talk a little bit about some of the issues that were dealt with in the book and what's happened since. A kind of informal and absolutely undefinitive update on some of those themes. The first one of which maybe that this question of computation, for the question of computation and sovereignty that was theorized in the book, I would want to say that's really not just about the ways in which, and I think it's clear in these panels, not just the ways in which sovereignty has been subsumed by software, but in many ways, and perhaps more importantly, the inverse, how software in its own way has been subsumed by functions of sovereignty. And it's really the latter that I want to speak a little bit about very quickly through this figure of what we might call hemispherical stacks, offered in some ways a sort of a corrective note to some of the ways in which the book has been received, particularly in art discourses. So just as a sort of quick bit of recapitulation, the model, stack model, deals with the six modular layers of an accidental megastructure and considers how sovereignty is generated or cored out differently by each layer: earth, cloud, city, address, interface, and user, and how the designability of these systems becomes its own kind of task on its own right, including its own accidents. And the secondary literature on the book, in ways that really make perfect sense, I think, there was a strong focus on the cloud layer, and particularly how cloud layers take on many of the roles and functions of the Westphalian state, based on an idea that the question of new geographies, new sovereignties, would be one that might be found there. And that brought with it a whole genre of speculative design works that were interested in drawing new alternative territories and sovereign media: passports, currencies, brands, voting mechanisms, forms of citizenship, property, and so forth. All of which, I think, however, rather too neatly confuse the semiotic accoutrements of sovereign systems with those systems themselves. And yet, the open invitation to the invitation to reopen technologies of governance and take them as questions is, of course, well taken. And in my next remarks, I'll give in the next part of this on blockchains, the ways in which these are seen a bit like Rorschach ink blocks, into which we might read our fears or aspirations as once is part, of course, what makes them of interest to us. At the same time, the equally important inverse, that is, how states evolve into cloud platforms, is met with less sanguine narratives, usually focusing on surveillance and securitization, how to cultivate and protect complex systems from the debilitating noise and abuse of bad actors, but also in some cases the personal withdrawal from what is seen as an illegitimate forms of publicity altogether. The paradoxes of radical openness and radical privacy are intensified against each other. Everyday acts that are equally technical and theological, procedural and ritual, such as tape over webcams, a bit like Ash Wednesday rituals, a mark right over the pineal eye. Both sensible and ceremonial, both effective tactical counter design at the edge of the network and warding spell. Now, the other point, which just sort of occurs, is that the question of sovereignty that was dealt with in the book is not very importantly just at this cloud layer, but really importantly is tried to be dealt with at the other ones as well. And so very quickly, the earth layer, it's really not just about energy, but how energy infrastructures determine social relations, or at least can and must be understood in this way. Unfortunately, perhaps the theoretical interest in energy sourcing and mineral flows and how forms of matter interoperate struggles a bit too much, I think, under the mystifications of new materialist intuitionism. But the primary problems of sovereignty at the earth layer have everything to do with the absence of a kind of agency and actors, the cities or city-states, the agency that might be necessary for massive carbon remediation capture, wide-scale fourth-generation nuclear, carbon pricing, massive rewilding corridors, and so forth and so on. It's precisely the absence of the sovereign agent that is most pressing here. And I'll speak about the cloud layer a little bit in a moment, where it's sort of actually at the end. But at the city layer, it would seem that it's here that the diverse practices of what Yukui calls cosmotechnics are played out in and among multiple assemblages. It's where the metropolitan singularities and the networks of quasi-sovereign city-states hold the recursive relationships to national territories at a kind of arm's length. Cities as the capitals of territories under some certain senses, or territories and other ones, the peripheral territories as the metropolitan's extended jurisdiction. The countryside essentially is a kind of massive back office to the metropolitan core. And this dynamic, of course, has led to a kind of as one of the causes of the rise of populist politics from Milwaukee to Manila, as the scope of class and ethnic conflicts is drawn from every urban core to every remote District 13 and back again. And as said, the countryside is in many ways where the cloud actually lives, in data centers, logistics archipelagos, and other megastructures, largely unoccupied as it so happens to be by hominids, and yet form a different kind of urbanism and of different sort. And this is nothing to say about the other issues around the proliferation of exceptional zones and political and economic sorts as well, which would take much longer to get into. At the address layer, which I'll talk also in the second talk a little bit around blockchains, this is where some of these issues of the identity and identification and the question and the sovereignty of the generic and the categorical the really imperative categories that these imply gets particularly sorted out. We see this in many ways from the device, from simple things like device identification to other more newer, more comprehensive and perhaps pernicious initiatives around social ID, particularly in the Chinese stack, which I'll talk a little bit about in a moment. The interface layer, as said, is really where one system comes to see each other. It's where the terms by which one part of a system is able to recognize another part of the system. It's where, in other words, where governance and biosemiotics collaborate. It's at the interface layer that multiple diagrams close perceptual loops into fixed cognitive frames. These in turn form the interfacial regimes which become those standardizing forms by which content is untethered from the real on behalf of the motivations of self-reinforcing micro-mythologies, symbolic relations freely substituted for causal ones. Also, interfaces, it must be said, is not only how users look at the world, it's also the way in which the world in other ways looks at itself. It's also where the sensing assemblages that feed the input layer of landscape scale, deep learning, artificial neural networks, hear that the strangely alien slash familiar worlds and the intraspecies signaling dynamics that ensue takes place. The fragility of agency, let's say, and the boundaries of agents literally are drawn, of course, at the user layer, but including but not limited to the status, of human and humanism in all of this, of individuation and collectivization, of encapsulation and prostheticization and so forth. Also, the polyphony of imaginaries for AI and evolutionary robotics, perhaps more importantly, may be trained exactly here. And we may see an unfortunate standardization of corporeal cultures as projected into that common virtualization Or we may see a kind of negentropic proliferation of co-agencies unaccountable by industrial era political economic theory. Certainly to say. Also, the contestations of sovereign identification and identity are fought, sometimes one idea at a time, in such forms. For some, identity theft is when someone else has a depersonalization episode and then repersonalizes as you instead. For others, the trace of address is not so easily dislodged. For some, this may be experienced as a delinking of identity from agency, representation from non-representation. The former played out in forums of public mimesis, and the latter increasingly non-representational, operational, counted but not named. The point is that from the stack thesis model, the dynamics of sovereignty at each layer operate at each layer and recognize and conflict with one another in the same way. There is no one layer within the model by which software and sovereignty is more truly and properly located, radiating from there. It's certainly not the cloud layer. It's precisely this contestation in ways that are not recognizably political that is perhaps most important. The multiples of those mapping complexities ensue. And because those fundamental procedures of governance, and thereby the fundamental procedures of governance, which we might say of replication, recursion, and enforcement, are all the more widespread, more imminent. That said, it also does include, however, all of the institutional geographies that are recognizably political. The post-Westphalian machinations of cloud platforms, drawing a new nomos, abstracting and absorbing functions from the state, for example, but is only one side of the story. New sovereign territories, I want to sort of underscore, are also drawn in parallel domains to the state, but can be imagined as configured and as diffuse and discontiguous incorporations from there, in each of which ways that would redefine and reposition how we would locate this problem of placement. That is, it's not only then that the cloud platforms absorb and functions, redraw the functions of the state according to their more gossamer topologies. The production of new territories occurs as much, if not more so, by how states absorb the functions of the cloud and indeed become cloud platforms. So instead of thinking of new spaces as something developed in opposition to the states, understood then as a kind of fixed model, a landlocked entity against which liquid flows may swim, we need to also see that states are producing new territories and perhaps some ways more important ones, for good or bad, as the state itself is actively respatialized as a stack. I'll talk a little bit about this a bit more informally. The relative continuity of those spaces may span from a kind of hard enclosure within a bounded territorial domain to transoceanic atmospheric encapsulations through informational securitization and monetization, of course. Now, the argument I would propose and would need consider more time to sort of draw out, and this is some of what the next. At least one of the chapters in the next book will do so, is a bit more like Schmitt's Grossraum than it is like, for example, the kind of neo-cameralist patchwork multiplication of Westphalian enclaves, though we see that too with certain kinds of, as certain private polities proliferate. That is to say, what we see instead is the emergence of not one global stack, but a mitosis of the stack genera into a regime of multipolar hemispherical stacks in which the sovereign steerage of a state, even if unbounded by Westphalian borders exactly, remains paramount. This places informational networks in relation to notions of sovereignties and the structures it engenders, of course, and here we see once more, this collision of transmission technologies, multiscalar platforms, formal and informal legal sovereignties, human rights regimes, and so forth, folding into kinds of encapsulated economic structures that themselves constitute a kind of megastructural formations interrelated within themselves by noisy dynamics of their own self-generative feedback. Their geographic scope and their procedural integration the geographic scope and their procedural integration of data as sovereign substance are in many ways their key territorial innovation. So among these is a sort of initial sketch of these multipolar hemispherical stacks. We have, of course, the Euro-American, so perhaps something like a Euro-American stack plus Australasia and Israel, recognized by the GAFA stack, Google, Amazon, Facebook, Apple. We could add Microsoft if you like. A Chinese stack recognizable by the sort of the BAT stack of Baidu, Alibaba, and Tencent. And then since I'm coming to you from Moscow, we can certainly talk about the a Russia plus CIS country stack and its in its structure reserves of VK, Telegram, Yandex, and so forth. These are, of course, the Latin America continent, in Africa, and Middle East. There's other ones that may, in fact, prove more innovative in many sort of ways. Now, clearly, the nationalism and linguistic homology plays a role here, but it doesn't, honestly, I think, it doesn't actually explain as much as it might appear. Many of the debates around these issues in Berlin, and indeed in Europe more broadly, contest the terms of Europe's inclusion or exclusion from a Euro-American stack. And what the norms of that inclusion might be, if at all. Europe's GDPR, the General Data Protection Law, and for this, the legal status, as we know, of EU data, draws dotted lines from data center to data center, regardless of where those facilities may in fact be located. The EU digital single market, including rights and some of the aspirations and codes for this, including right of erasure, pseudonymization, data portability, and so forth, are all quite sensible, and may in time take on a gravity in terms of a transnational agreements similar to that had once been offered by the Euro and the ECM. Enforcement, however, depends on what we mean by operating in a jurisdiction and what counts as EU data in the first place, and this will continue to be redefined by technologies of circumnavigation, both top-down and bottom-up, and of course, middle-out. And while on this side of the Atlantic, it may seem like all of this is fought in response to American dictates, on the other side, serious policy discussions have largely been scrapped, as you might imagine, in favor of telecom deregulation. And so perhaps by the time the Democrats get the White House back, EU DSM guidelines may be a default option there as well, in response to however many years of post-net neutrality telecom deregulation we make it through. It should also be said that in the U.S., the most strongest, the most consequential contestations over the nature of sex happens inside the large platforms, groups within Amazon, within Google, within Facebook, arguing and building in relationship what the structure and layers and content and facilities of, within each of these the stack structure within each of these platforms may be or should be, are led not just by technical efficiency or microeconomic incentive, but also by longer-term thinking about the fundamental function of these platforms as social systems. Now, as in the U.S., so today as the wind blows towards interest in more state oversight for private cloud platforms, however, often to ensure that information is not biased or socially malicious, It's sometimes interesting to note, it's important to note that most of this discussion in the U.S. is being had around the governance of algorithmic governance, let's call it, in ways that are quite, I think, myopically Western, in that the notion for a immediate oversight of these flows takes place in a context in which the notion that the Chinese stack may have already provide a model for what this looks like isn't considered or understood that it even exists. The Chinese stack, as many of us are familiar, is one that's, again, you know, dominated not just by Baidu, Tencent, and Alibaba, but a number of other sort of players, but offers forms and structures of social integration, urban and social integration with information that have homologies with the Euro-American stack, but are also quite differently. And is also defined by a certain kind of prophylactic exclusion of other kinds of apps. Skype was recently moved out, the same way LinkedIn had been kicked out of Russia, and the rest of this as well, as also at the Huawei at the firmware router and the rest of this. Another thing also to think about in terms of the structures of these kinds of stacks, not only whether or not China does end up annexing the Congo, or not, but that all of these sectors are also developing are also making massive investments in AI development, and to the extent to which the AI really evolves in relationship what it's possible for the AI to sense, that the world in which it senses will increasingly take place within the boundaries of certain kinds of hemispherical firewalls. That will be a certain way, a kind of territorial limit for its development. For those of you sort of interested in the relationship, what happens when you completely deprivatize the cloud and look into relationships of structure, you should of state operative control. I would invite you to take a look at some of the Communist Party apps in China, of which there are hundreds, which are designed particularly to motivate people's participation in various kinds of ideological exercises. We're also interested, and this is some of the work we're doing, also I should say, by the way, in our Strelka program for next year on these issues of the China stack. We're really interested in the functions of credit systems and the ways in which credit systems work as another kind of tokenization, a kind of tokenization relationship to a futural projection. Zima Credit, which is by Alibaba, is an Alibaba one, is one that's sort of enormously interesting. It's enormously interesting and quite popular. But the Sesame's Credit, which some of you probably know, which hasn't quite gone online, which is also not just the sort of economic credit score kind of system, but also has to do with the political how the sort of political conformity that the users are able to demonstrate in relation to one another, and so that the content of one's posts, the content of the posts of one's friends, the kinds of participation which she does is what makes this number go up or bad, up or down in ways in which are. Probably would have certainly kinds of detrimental effects on the ways in which we might think about these operations to work. So it's a bit like, in a certain way, the kind of Equifax score that we have in the United States, but instead of but not just the viability of likely to repayment of debt, but it's, in a certain ways, takes the social contract itself as a form of debt that is continuously and forever being repaid just for the terms of its participation. Okay, so in many ways we've seen, so this is in some of the literature on this, as a kind of global battle between a GAFA stack and a BAT stack, and at a certain level, at least between these two countries, it may sort of seem this way, but of course our interest is not just on the development of this kind of bipolar kind of structure, but in the development of a more multipolar framework of these as well, including, I should say, the Russian stack, and as you know, I've been spending a bit of time there. MailU, Yandex, VK, Telegram, and Instagram, of course, is a sort of a big part of this as well. And we should probably add Kaspersky, as this is really, in many ways, the security software is a much more important sort of use of this than it may have been absorbed. So at least before Russia is ultimately reabsorbed into the Estonian Empire, we have some things to consider. One of the ways, at least in the US, the Russian stack is understood is primarily, of course, in terms of its inability to stay within its own borders and to interfere and contaminate with structures, the terms of the polity on this side. We may think that in certain ways that these are the last years by which we worry about Facebook's interference in national elections. It may be more. Next time it may be worrying about national interference in Facebook elections, but we'll see how we get to those. But the other things you'll kind of sort of see here is that those of you who came to Anton Vilokhin's conference on cosmism know that the role of a certain kind of technological thinking and sort of small o occult thinking is an important part of the Russian sort of Russian perspective on these things for sure, and continues to be in some of the ways in which they also understand their own kind of stack. I should invite you to do some more research on a project called the Neuroscope, which was proposed by one Anton Vino. A little bit of a diagram here as well of how this Russian stack was going to work. He was a deputy of Putin and was really looking at some sort of kind of amazing set of variables, certainly more complicated than my stack model that I began to sort of do there. So lastly, and then I'm going to get off the stage because this is really meant for more terms of discussion. We're interested still in the role of a kind of these ways in which these kinds of megastructural systems retain their speculative quality, both in the sense of which that the model is that they, in certain sense, exist and don't yet exist, and yet that the power that they may have in terms of the organization of the social economies in their own image, in many ways, is remains just as powerful in relationship to the kind of virtual model that they may hold on this as well. The question of a splitting, this mitosis and splitting into multiple sects, we already begin to see a kind of Galapagos effects of the structure of ways in which these sort of work, which is something we probably want to thinking about encourage. But at the same time, the capacity for movement between the stacks, not just a captured encapsulation of social life within one of the borders, the becoming allochthonous, if you like, of the movement of data and people between them. And a politics of migrancy remains just as powerful as it had been before. So thank you for your time.